Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM Sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Welcome to another episode of All Things Mysterious, the podcast where the realms of true crime, the supernatural, and the unexplained converge. I'm your host, Matt.
I'm Jordan.
Let's dive right in. Jordan.
Yes, Matthew.
About time. Have you ever heard of a little-known place in England called Stonehenge?
It doesn't matter what I say because you're going to throw something weird at me.
I'm asking. I'm truly curious.
No, you're not.
I am.
No, you're not. If I say no, you're going to say, and if I say yes, you're going to say, no, you haven't.
We will wait here until you say yes or no.
It doesn't matter what I say. You're going to throw something at me verbally.
Well, I need to
know. Or maybe physically. I don't know.
I need to know how much or if you ever heard of it. It's important.
I'm scared to say yes or no because you're going to throw something at me verbally and I'm going to get verbally abused.
I'm going to be good today.
No, you're not.
I promise.
No, you're not. Okay, fine. You guys get to listen to this firsthand. I'm going to say an answer. And if you edit this out, we will not find the body. Yes, I have heard of Stonehenge, as a matter of fact.
Okay, so you haven't heard of it. Good.
Fucking called it. I swear to God.
It's been a while since we've done that.
You're infuriating.
Let's start with a little background on Stonehenge before we get into the juicy bits.
Ooh, juicy bits. About stones.
Yeah. Stonehenge is a prehistoric monument located in Wiltshire, England, and is one of the most famous landmarks in the United Kingdom. Fun fact, for some reason I always thought it was located in Scotland.
It feels like it should be.
Like, does it feel like that's a Mandela effect where...
It does. It feels Scottish,
yeah.
But it also does feel English. So
right.
England, I don't know. I don't know. It does weirdly feel Scottish, yeah. Though.
So I was like, England, what? I thought it was in Scotland.
I don't know. Weird.
Anyways, it consists of a ring of standing stones, each around 13 feet high, 7 feet wide, and weighing approximately 25 tons.
That is a lot.
The stones are set within earthworks in the middle of the most dense complex of Neolithic and Bronze Age monuments in England, including several hundred burial mounds.
As you do.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to have a bunch of stone monuments, why not have a bunch of burial grounds?
Yeah, like I said, as you do. Sounds like a plan. That's what I would do. It's exactly what I would do.
Do you know when it was built?
I have literally no idea, except I'm going to assume they're really old.
Should we do a test?
No. I'm going to assume it's
Throw out a number.
No.
And I'll give you a hint. It's BC.
No.
Or BCE.
Well, yeah, I'm BC. I'm going to say, I don't know. Time.
Give you another chance. Another might be right around the time that we're talking.
I don't know what time it is. 1900?
I meant the year, but... So, archaeologists believe Stonehenge was constructed from 3000 BC to 2000 BC.
The time we're talking, what even was that hint supposed to be?
We're in 2024. That's close to 2000.
Okay, that did not make sense. I was going with the actual physical time, which I was actually way off anyway. Whatever.
Although, actually, you probably wouldn't be, if 1900 wouldn't be that far off. It'll only be 100 years off.
All right. Anyway, let's continue.
So what we've learned here today is that Jordan is still not good at tests.
Listen, we've already face covered that time and time again, and we know I'm very bad at tests.
The site itself is much older, with evidence of early monumental structures dating as far back as 8000 BC. Its construction is all the more remarkable given the Neolithic builders transported the larger source and stones from local quarries and the smaller blue stones from Preseli Hills in Wales, nearly 150 miles away.
It's hard to imagine how they transported that. Like,
yeah, aliens, of course.
Yeah, that's your go-to, always.
But yeah, it makes it more impressive because the larger stones are 25 tons, smaller stones are probably half that maybe. But still, that's still like 15 tons.
At least. That's huge.
That's 150 miles.
Even if aliens weren't involved, like especially if aliens weren't involved, just imagine, I'm going to say slaves and horses and I'm going to guess oxen. Is that plural? I think that's oxen, right. Oxen. Yeah. I was like, oxes. That's not right. Oxen. Just think of how many had to be involved in that.
And how long it would take. Walking 150 miles. With the 15-ton stone.
I would walk 500 miles. Sorry. But still, that's...
That'd probably take a year.
And there were how many stones? There's a lot of stones.
Yeah. We'll get into that later.
You don't know how many stones. I'm thinking there's...
It's in here. I think I've...
More? I don't know. I'm imagining it in my head.
We'll get it. Because this is just a basic overview for now. We'll get into more details.
I will let you get into more detail later, I guess.
The significance of Stonehenge lies not just in its archaeological achievement, but also in its mystery. Its original purpose remains a subject of speculation and debate. Theories range from astronomy, whatever. Why can't it astronomical observatory?
I am just about to cackle over here.
I did so good today. Astronomical observatory to religious site, ceremonial grounds, or a place of healing. Its precise alignment with the summer and winter solstice suggests that it played a significant role in marking seasonal events, which is actually pretty interesting.
That is interesting.
Stonehenge's significance extends beyond its constructions and theorized purposes. It is a symbol of Britain's prehistoric past and a testament to the ingenuity of its builders. It has been legally protected scheduled ancient monument since 1882 and was listed as a UNESCO World Heritage Site in 1986. Stonehenge continues to hold cultural and spiritual significance for many, including members of the modern Druid and pagan communities, and it attracts visitors from all over the world.
Yeah, that makes sense because everyone's just like, wow, these are bizarre.
Yeah. And I would love to go visit it, honestly.
I mean, I would too, just because, I don't know, it's just, it's mysterious. But it's also really cool and just so old and otherworldly.
We should record a podcast at Stonehenge.
We're broke. Thought I would remind you.
Let's talk about the discovery and early studies of Stonehenge. The first recorded studies of Stonehenge date back to the medieval period, but it was not until the 17th century that antiquarians, I don't know, whatever.
That word that you can't pronounce. Yeah. Great, got it.
Like John Aubrey and William Stuckley conducted more systematic studies. Aubrey is credited with identifying the Aubrey holes, circular pits within the site, and was among the first to propose that Stonehenge was a religious site. Stuckley furthered this idea, suggesting Stonehenge was a Druid temple, a theory that has been since debunked, but was influential in shaping early perceptions of the monument.
It could be, especially back then. It seems like just about everything was focused on religion.
Yeah.
Because that's all they had.
A Druid temple just feels right. Or a Druid monument or something. I don't know why. It just feels right. But apparently it's
not. So. Gotta do what you gotta do.
Early theories about Stonehenge's purpose were heavily influenced by the cultural and religious preconceptions of the investigators. Besides the Druidic temple theory, others speculated it was constructed by Romans, Danes, or Saxons, or for astronomical or calendrical purposes.
That makes sense. Lining up the stars and stuff to look up dates, to see dates, to know what time it is, what day it is. Maybe.
Seems like a really lot of work to make a calendar.
Yes, that makes sense, but it does line up with the solstices.
Yeah.
Which makes sense-ish. I don't know. Yes and no. I get it, but I don't. Because yes, it does. But at the same time, I feel like there should be more to it than that for some sort of calendrical purpose.
What if I told you that we actually know why it was built?
Do we actually?
No.
Matthew, threw off.
Had you going for a second.
I was like, wait, do we?
These early interpretations, though speculative, laid the groundwork for the archaeological scrutiny that would follow. The 19th and early 20th centuries saw the application of more scientific methods and archaeology moving away from mere speculation. Excavation.
You are struggling so hard right now, and it's cracking me up. You were doing so good on the last episode. Yeah, you were doing so good.
Excavations by William Galland in 1901 and later by Richard Atkinson, Stuart Piggott, not going to lie, when I was writing that name, it made me laugh, and saying it made me laugh too.
Of course it did. You are a child.
I am. And J.F.S. Stone in the mid-20th century introduced and radiocarbon dating, significantly advancing our understanding of Stonehenge's construction timeline and techniques. Basically, that's how we know when it was built.
That makes sense.
The latter half of the 20th century and the 21st century have seen a dramatic evolution in archaeological methods applied to Stonehenge. Remote sensing technologies like ground-penetrating radar and magnetropic have revealed...
Magnets.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Have revealed more about the landscape surrounding Stonehenge without the need for invasive digging. Laser scanning has provided high-resolution 3D models of the stones, enabling detailed analysis without physical contact.
Lasers.
No joke, you can actually do a virtual tour of Stonehenge.
Yeah, I've seen stuff like that. It's really neat.
Yeah. They've actually got a 3D, not a 3D, but a VR game that you basically just do you can do a walkthrough of Stonehenge. And it's 100% accurate. Really freaking cool. Recent studies of Stonehenge involve an interdisciplinary approach, incorporating archaeology, astronomy, geology, and even physics. Projects like the Stonehenge Hidden Landscape Project have uncovered new sites and artifacts, uncovering insight into the people who built Stonehenge and their broader societal structure. Analysis of human remains and burial goods found in and around Stonehenge has shed light on the diet, origins, and lifestyle of its builders. Why isotopic analysis of the stones have traced their origins, revealing the monument's extensive prehistoric trade networks.
All right. So we know a little bit-ish about the people who built it, or at least were buried in the area.
Mm-hmm. We basically what this is, this whole is it showing how we evolved from when we first started studying Stonehenge to how we're now, where we're actually using technology and using it to find out a lot of information. A lot of this stuff we probably only known for 40, 50 years, some less.
Yeah, technology's come a long way. the last few years even.
Yeah, and that's why technology, apparently a lot of people hate technology, Jordan included.
I don't hate technology, it hates me. But it's my fault.
It does a lot of good, and it gives a lot of knowledge.
Like I said, I don't hate it, it hates me. That's not my fault.
Give or take.
It's not my fault!
These evolving methods have gradually peeled away some of Stonehenge's mysteries, providing a clearer picture of its age, construction, and possible functions. Despite these advances, Stonehenge continues to hold many secrets. Its complete story yet to be unraveled, each new discovery adds depth to our understanding of this ancient monument, reflecting the changing techniques and theories in archaeology.
You keep adding a random syllable to that. Archaeology.
Archaeology. There we go. Each new discovery adds depth to our understanding of the ancient monument, reflecting the change in techniques and theories in archaeology over time.
He keeps making faces, you guys. It's beautiful.
Jordan.
Oh, yeah.
How and when was Stonehenge built?
3000 BC.
I wasn't actually asking you. That was just the title of this section.
Listen, I was prepared because you like to test me on random crap. So I was listening.
Oh, good. There it is. Stonehenge construction is understood to have occurred in several phases, starting around 3000 BC with the earliest earthworks and continued in several stages until about roughly 1600 BC. The most significant construction phase occurred around 2500 BC when the large Sorsen stones were erected. The builders used a combination of woodworking principles and stone masonry techniques, despite the monument being made almost entirely of stone. For example, mortise and tenon joints common in woodworking are found in the vertical and lintel stones, suggesting a sophisticated understanding of construction methods. Large stones were likely moved using a combination of sledges, rollers, and levers, and erected through creating earthen ramps or pits for the upright stones, with the lintels possibly being raised to use scaffolding.
Honestly, that is incredibly high-tech for that time.
Yeah. And what kind of scaffolding can you build that can hold 25 tons?
Thinking that. Like, what the heck scaffolding were you using back then?
So whatever that is, we need to build your desk out of that.
That's fair. It's a miracle my desk has not given out at this point.
You know what they used?
No.
The Nokia.
Probably. I used to have a Nokia, and that thing never gave out on me. It's a miracle, but it never did.
I was watching TikTok the other day, and there's a video about, there's those videos of the, like, presses, like, destroying stuff.
The hydraulic presses. Yeah. Those things are so awesome.
I seen one
those videos
where they put a Nokia in there, and it literally broke the hydraulic press.
Yes.
Obviously, it was a doctor thing, but it was just so funny because it's like it starts out by putting like other phones in there and it destroys it, and then they put an old Nokia in there, and it just the whole friggin' press just like blows up.
It's a Nokia. It will outlive all of us.
I don't think I've ever heard of anybody actually breaking a Nokia.
I used to have one in high school, and I remember being in marching band. Yes, all of you. I was in marching band in high school. You're welcome. And I remember dropping it from the top of the bleachers at a football game, and it just fell and crashed onto the ground.
Perfectly fine.
And aside from the battery falling out, I remember going all the way down and being like, oh, no. And I don't even think the thing had a scratch on it. The battery fell out, but I just had to put it back together and it was fine.
Those things, like, they... iPhone and Android makers need to take some lessons from Nokia.
Yeah, they do.
Anyways, the construction of Stonehenge was a monumental task that would have required hundreds, if not thousands, of laborers, craftsmen, and organizers. The people who built Stonehenge were Neolithic Britons, with a society capable of organizing the prolonged effort required for such a construction. Tools likely consisted of stone, wood, and bone implements. Antler picks were used to dig the earthworks and holes for the stones, while stone hammers shaped the sarsens. The transportation and erection of the stones would have required ingenuity with the use of wooden A-frames, ropes made from plant fibers or animal hide, and possibly grease tracks of logs to move the heavy stones across the landscape, which is... Just think how many freaking... logs you would have to place.
That's so many, though. But it's not like back then they were short on those. But still, just think of like how many you had to have, and they had to be so close to the same size or exactly the same size, which is insanity. And the manpower.
Yeah, it's hard to even put your mind, wrap your mind around it.
Yeah, it is.
So Stonehenge consists of two main types of stones. The larger Saracen's sandstone and the smaller bluestone, various types of volcanic and indigenous rocks. The Saracen's were sourced locally from the Marlborough Downs, about 20 miles north of Stonehenge. In contrast, the bluestones were transported from the Preseli Hills in Wales, nearly 150 miles away.
150 miles, though. Taking those things 150 miles.
Granted, they were a lot smaller, but still.
150 miles.
I know.
150. That's just insanity.
20 miles is insanity if you think about it.
Yeah. Just on foot, dragging at least 15 tons.
It's like basically me walking from here to work.
Yeah.
That would, yeah.
I agree. Nope.
So the transportation of the bluestones from Wales to Stonehenge is a subject to be of considerable debate and fascination. Theories include transportation via water networks using rafts along rivers and the sea, and overland transport involving rolling the stones over logs or dragging them on sledges. Recent experiments and studies suggest that while challenging, these methods were within the capabilities of Neolithic society.
It makes sense. This just seems so out of their depth.
But obviously it was, because it exists.
Aliens. Do we know why? No, but aliens.
That's good as an answer as anything else. The construction of the Stonehenge is a testament to the ingenuity and determination of its builders. Using only the tools and technologies available to them in the Neolithic period, they created a monument that has endured thousands of years. Let that sink in. Thousands of years.
Yeah, and it's still just chilling.
We can't even build cars that last for 20 years.
Nothing's built to last anymore. I'm a millennial. I don't care. I'll say it. It's the truth. Nothing is built to last anymore.
Okay, boomer. Calm down over there.
I deserve that.
I just had to.
I'm not even going to say anything to it. Like, I deserved that.
All right. Effort involved in gathering materials from distant sources, shaping them, and assembling them into the iconic structure today speaks volumes about the organizational skills and social cohesion of the people who built it. Despite our understanding of Stonehenge was constructed, the monument retains an air of mystery.
Just an air of it.
So now let's get into the theories of why it was built.
The theories.
Theory one.
You can't say it, can you? Beautiful. I love it.
Please. The astronomical theory. Oh, boom.
He's so proud of himself. Glorious.
Okay. The astronomical theory. One of the most compelling theories about Stonehenge's purpose is its potential use as an ancient astronomical observatory or calendar. The precise alignment of the stones within the solstices. That is such a weird word.
It is.
Solstices.
I know, it feels like it should be like oxen. It feels like it should have a different plural version.
Solstice.
Solstice?
Solstein. I don't know. Particularly the heelstone, which aligns with the sunrise on the summer solstice, suggests a sophisticated understanding of celestial movements. This alignment could have allowed ancient peoples to mark the change in seasons, which would have been crucial for agricultural practices and religious ceremonies.
Yes and no. Yes, the changing of the seasons and stuff was important back then.
Yeah, definitely was. You wanted to know when to plant the crops, and it makes sense, but also at the same time, it's if you know enough to be able to make something that can show you the seasons, why would you make the thing to show you the seasons?
Exactly. And you would have to know exactly when the solstices were in order to put that up. So at some point, you had to have some sort of knowledge of when it was.
Yeah.
So they were keeping track of it some way or another by then anyway. So how are they keeping track of it before that?
Exactly. So I like it, but at the same time, it's like...
So somehow they were already paying attention to it before then. I feel like there's got to be some greater purpose than this. It just feels, I don't know, it doesn't feel big enough.
It almost just feels, and it almost, if you're going to build something to help you tell the seasons, it seems like so excessively big for what they would need.
Exactly. It just, it, like I said, the reason itself is what I was trying to say, does not feel big enough for that.
Yeah. I'm with you on that one. Religious and ritualistic functions. Many researchers believe Stonehenge served as a site for religious worship and ritualistic ceremonies. The presence of human remains, some cremated within and around the site, suggests it may have been a sacred burial ground or a place of ancestor veneration. The layout and construction of the monument, which would have required significant communal effort over generations, implies its central role in the spiritual or religious life of the people who built it. And I like this theory a little more better.
A little more better,
because obviously back then, pretty much everybody's religious. And it's really cool that if it would be for like human sacrifices and stuff like that.
I still feel like there would be a little bit more to it than that, but it makes more sense to me that it would be for some sort of religious.
Well, I mean, think about like all the places like Greece, for instance. Look at how extravagant their temples were for their gods.
Oh, exactly. No, I wholeheartedly believe that it could be for a religious something or another. It just surprises me that there's not some sort of, this is what this is for.
More mystical and maybe supernatural reason, maybe?
Ooh, do you have another theory for me?
Theory three, a place of healing. Another intriguing theory posits that Stonehenge functioned as a prehistoric place of healing, akin to a pilgrimage site. Some archaeological evidence, including the analysis of human remains found near the site, indicates that individuals may have traveled to Stonehenge seeking healing for ailments or injuries. The bluestones transported from Wales are believed by some to have been chosen for their perceived magical or curative properties.
Ooh, that's interesting. See, that makes more sense to me.
Yeah, and I think that's a lot of it has to do with why people thought it was druids who built it. And I think that's one of the, where a lot of the theory came from is because druids are mystical and this is a mystical site. So maybe it's got some magical properties and maybe it's a place of healing.
No, I actually like that theory more than the others, at least so far.
Yeah, I do too.
Anymore, but that one makes the most sense to me so far. If they believed that this had healing properties, especially if there was any sort of religious background to it, that makes the most sense.
Honestly, this last theory, I like the most. Theory four, a monument to unity and identity.
Interesting.
Recent interpretations suggest Stonehenge could represent a monumental effort to unify the diverse peoples of Neolithic Britain. In this view, Stonehenge is seen not just as a religious or astronomical site, but as a symbol of political power and social cohesion, bringing together communities from across the island to participate in its construction and use.
That's interesting. I hadn't heard that one before.
No, and it strangely makes sense.
In a way, it actually does. I still like reason number three.
Yeah, I think all of them have at least
grounded. They all have their charm.
But yeah, theory four, I think. I like the most just because it's cool.
It's definitely different. It's not something I'd ever thought of before.
Especially in a world where division is typical.
I like the third theory.
We got to come together and build another Stonehenge.
I think we should probably hover the aliens.
Let's build in Arkansas. Nobody likes Arkansas.
That's fair. Arkansas it is.
Yeah.
All right.
Arkansas, we're going to borrow your state so we can build a monument to...
You know what? No, I've changed my mind. Let's build it in one of the Dakotas because they don't have anything.
I keep forgetting Dakotas is the North and South Dakotas are actually states.
I know. There's nothing there. Let's give them something. They have nothing.
Rhode Island.
No, but people there are so mean.
There won't be any people there. They're all to move. We'll need to build the...
That's fair. It'll take up like the whole state.
Yeah. We'll make sure it does.
All right. Rhode Island. That's fine.
I still like Arkansas though, because we won't really miss Arkansas.
We won't miss it. It'll be fine.
Sorry for anybody who's from Arkansas.
No, we're not.
Yeah, no.
We're used to offending people now.
It's Arkansas.
I'm not sorry about the Dakotas either.
Do they even know how to listen to podcasts?
I don't know. Probably not. They're out on farmland or whatever they do up there.
Oh my God, Jordan, you're gonna get us. I don't know.
It'll be fine.
We're gonna piss off the whole two people that live in Arkansas right now.
Or the Dakotas, if they even know. They probably don't. It's fine. They'll be fine. They'll think it's funny.
At least I didn't mention the fact that they're probably brother and sister.
Yeah, that wasn't me. That was not me. That was Matthew, straight out of Matthew's mouth. That was not me.
Now I go too far, what?
That wasn't me. Those were not my views. I may have pissed off the entire country of Russia. However, that was not me.
I love how she didn't actually say that she didn't believe it, though.
Didn't say that, but it wasn't me.
She just said that she just didn't say it.
Didn't say a word.
I'm just kidding. I've got a lot of friends in Arkansas, so.
I do, too. I actually like a good bit of Arkansas. It's really pretty down there.
It really is. But never stopped me from making jokes about Arkansas.
That's fair. It's just fun. There are, I don't know.
It's funny because you can make jokes and they won't understand them.
You're so mean. So mean. Why do we continue making enemies of states that live literally so close to us?
I don't know. I figure we might as well add to our resume of people that hate us.
All right. We've got Florida, Oklahoma, Arkansas, probably the Dakotas, Russia. That's not a fun one.
Oklahoma.
Did I say Oklahoma? I thought I said Oklahoma.
I thought you said Oklahoma.
Definitely Oklahoma. That was like the very first one. No, Florida was the first.
No, it was Oklahoma because it was...
No, Florida was the first because that was the Roanoke episode. Yeah, that was the first.
Yeah.
When I was like, yeah, Florida's not even a state. Whoops, my bad.
I think I said nobody wants to go to Florida anyways.
Yeah, it was fine.
Yeah.
Good times. If you haven't listened to those episodes, feel free to go back and chime in and be like, this is how that went.
I still stand by that. Or the nightmare.
Fine. We just have a real good time making enemies. I don't know.
I don't know, but we love everybody at all.
Listen, if we're not joking about pissing you off, then I don't know what we're doing.
In all seriousness, though, we love everybody except for Chester's. Fuck Chester.
I agree. Fuck Chester's.
Matt, outro. Thank you for joining us on this journey through all things mysterious. If you've enjoyed uncovering these mysteries with us, please show your support by liking, subscribing, and following us on your favorite listening platform. For more content and ways to stay connected, don't forget to check out our links in the description below.
As always, we keep you guessing.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotions section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/RS10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/RS10 today.